Welcome to Take Note on WPSU. I'm Emily Reddy. In a TED Talk at Penn State in 2010, sociology professor Sam Richards put forward a challenge of empathy. He showed the audience a picture of two captured Iraqi insurgents and asked them to put themselves in these men's shoes, to think about their lives, their families, and why they were fighting. Not long after, on the other side of the world in Iraq, Bazem Razo saw that video and got in touch with Dr. Richards. Razo has since been a frequent speaker at Richards' classes via Skype, and now Richards students have raised the money to bring Razo to Penn State. Bazem Razo, Sam Richards, thanks for talking with us.
Yeah, thanks for inviting us.
Thank you for having us.
So, Bazem Razo, in 2011, you found Dr. Sam Richards' Penn State TED Talk, A Radical Experiment in Empathy, online. What did you think when you watched it?
Well, the first time I watched the video, I did not get the whole idea behind it. So I watched it again, and for the third time, the word empathy sank with me, and I was so happy that I can find an American person who thinks like this of an Iraqi person. That's when I got in touch with him.
Sam, did you have any thought that someone in Iraq might actually watch this video and reach out to you?
You know, I knew people in the Middle East would watch it, and I assumed eventually people in Iraq would watch it. But Bazem was the first person from Iraq who contacted me. So many people in the Middle East sent me emails and notifications, but he was the first Iraqi.
I want to play just a little bit of that TED Talk on A Radical Experiment in Empathy. For the part I'm going to play, Sam Richards, you were showing that picture of the two captured Iraqi insurgents to the audience. Here's that clip.
Now follow me on this, because I'm taking a big risk here. And so I'm going to invite you to take a risk with me. These gentlemen here, they're insurgents. They were caught by the American soldiers trying to kill Americans. And maybe they succeeded. Maybe they succeeded. Put yourself in the shoes of the Americans who caught them. Can you feel the rage? Can you feel that you just want to take these guys and wring their necks? I mean, can you go there? It shouldn't be that difficult. You know, you just feel, oh, man, right? Okay, now, put yourself in their shoes. Are they brutal killers or patriotic defenders? Which one? Can you feel their anger, their fear, their rage at what has happened in their country? Can you imagine that maybe one of them in the morning bent down to their child and hugged their child and said, "Dear, I'll be back later. I'm going out to defend your freedom, your lives. I'm going out to look out for us, the future of our country." Can you imagine that? Can you imagine saying that? Can you go there? What do you think they're feeling? You see, that's empathy.
So when you watched that video, what was your life like at that point, Bazem?
Well, at that point, the war had just started. In Mosul, I lived in Mosul. We did not sustain that much bombardment like Baghdad did. But then the aftermath of the war, the lawlessness, because the army was dissolved, the police force was dissolved. So there was like lawlessness for about a month for two. And we were scared to go even on the streets. And then you can see the American army on the street. That was strange. So things did change.
And you probably had a slightly different perspective than a lot of Iraqis, because you had lived in the United States in the 80s. You were at Western Michigan University.
Yes. Because I spoke English, I have come to many encounters with the Americans, but once they listen to me and they know where I come from, they completely change their behavior with me. But the Iraqi citizen who did not know what to say, he was a threat to them.
Was there anything in particular about that video that made you contact Sam?
Well, I've said it before, empathy was the magical word to me. And I still feel that empathy is what brought me here to Penn State and to meet all of you guys.
Because Sam's students actually paid to, they did a fundraiser to bring you here.
Yes, true. I'm so thankful for them too.
Did you know they were doing that? That's fundraiser?
Yes, they came to me. Many different students came to me saying, let's just bring him here. In fact, the woman who was the curator for the TEDx PSU this past fall, she said, hey, could he do a TED Talk? And I thought, oh, I know what you're thinking, but what if we back off of that a little bit? And what if we try think of something else? And then a bunch of other students came and started talking. I thought it would be nice. Just let's get Bassem here first just to talk.
Was it difficult, the logistics of getting here? Visas?
No, we got, you know, you can tell the story of the visa.
Well, Sam sent me an invitation from Penn State University, so I applied for visa. And it is difficult to get a visa to the United States, but somehow, I don't know whether they like me, they have information about me. They issued me a visa for 1 year, multi-entry visa, which was very strange. I mean, the office that they did my application, they were amazed. They said, how did you do it? What did you say to them? I said, well, I'm normal. I talked with, because the lady that interviewed me, she said, how long do you want to stay? I said, well, I have so many friends, I have so many relatives, so I would like to stay as long as I can. She said, well, your invitation is for 1 week only. So I said, well, ma'am, if it's for 1 week, then I would not bother go because it will take me 2 days just to get off jet lag. Then she just smiled. She said, no, I'm just joking with you. And I was issued the visa. Upon entering to the United States, many friends, they told me, listen, you might be interrogated, you might be pulled aside, you might be questioned. But I was very surprised with the friendship of the person who interviewed me. He was very friendly. He said, sir, you've left in 88. Why did you not come back to the United States? We'd like to have you back. And I'm really happy to be accepted like this again in the United States.
So this is your first time back?
This was my first time since July of 88. I left in July 88. 30 years.
Well, I wonder the Skyping that you've done for Sam's classes. How did you first think, Sam, that you wanted to have Bassem talk with your Sociology 119 Race and Ethnic Relations class?
Well, actually, he first spoke in my intro class. I was doing
a 5-week different class.
Yeah, 5-week segment on war, the sociology of war. So I would do that each semester. And I thought, you know, here, after we Skyped the first time, I thought, well, you can give sort of a report from the field, so to speak, right? So why don't we just bring you in and just my students can ask questions. We'll show photos. You can explain what's going on in the photos. And that's how it started. And then eventually we moved over to my large 750 student class because we're talking about empathy and all of these issues. So then he started talking in that class.
And what's that like talking with those students?
Well, my first talk, I was very nervous. So I asked Sam, I said, listen, this is my first time. I would rather you send me the questions that you will ask me. So I have some questions for them.
Bassem's an engineer.
Yeah, I'm an industrial engineer. So he sent me the answer. You know, because I have not spoken English for years. Mm. My vocabulary was a little bit rusty. So then the questions were okay, so I wrote down the answers, so I won't be nervous, and I would be truthful. I was nervous the first day, and then after that, I got used to it. My English now, I feel, is better than when I was in the United States. My vocabulary has grown up. I am more confident when talking, so we'll see today.
Yeah.
So, in those, how did the students react?
You know, in the beginning, it was intriguing to them to hear from somebody in Iraq. You know, and I bring other people in. We have partners from Afghanistan. There's a man from Iran that we speak with a fair amount, and then he joined the Iranian military. And so we've done some really interesting dialogues between him and U.S. Service members who have been deployed. So we've had lots of different opportunities, you know, but there's something about Bassem. Every time I speak with Bassem, it was just something like a calmness, just his way of speaking, his way of being with them that they just were able to trust, You know, just feel like they were really getting an authentic picture. And, you know, Bassem didn't mince words. I'll never forget the first time we talked about Iraq, and this is when, you know, the rebuilding before the violence, the fighting kicked up again. And, you know, and some student asked you, well, what do you think should happen at this point within Iraq? Like, and you said, well, you broke it, you fix it.
Yeah.
You know, you came in, you broke the system, now you need to fix it, you know. And students were
how
kind
they,
of taken aback
by that. Yeah, students,
yeah, but they understood that. That was something that they really got. Yeah, well, okay, that's how it is. I mean, it's pretty simple in a way.
Hmm. And Sam, you've said that you like to engage your class in these real-world opportunities. How do you think that makes the learning different?
I think real-world examples allow students to really go to different places in their consciousness. You know, it's not just theoretical, right? So we all want to experience something. And so, well, I can't experience going to Iraq, or I can't experience going to war, or I can't experience sitting down maybe with an Iraqi, but here's this person who's talking to me on video, and so I can have the next best thing. And I think that's kind of... I think that learning to a great deal is about that. It's about having these experiences that, A, get us out of our comfort zone, and, B, just get us out of our heads, you know.
So your TED Talk now has more than 1.5 million views.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, have you ever gotten any negative reactions and how you responded to that?
Yeah, it seems like it's one of these talks that people either really like or they really hate. And it's hard for folks to kind of find the middle ground. A lot of people start watching and they don't really get to the end, or they think I have a hidden agenda. And truthfully, it really is a radical experiment in empathy. I mean, I'm really trying to get people to the place where, well, if you can empathize with these guys here, then you can empathize with your neighbor or, you know, your spouse or somebody.
In the video, you say if you can empathize with these Iraqis,
mm-hmm.
You can empathize with the slow guy in the passing lane,
yeah, yeah.
Your teenage son, your neighbor mowing the lawn,
yeah,
at 7 a.m. on a Saturday. What do you think that kind of everyday empathy could do for our world?
Well, it would change the nature of Facebook, right? I mean, we wouldn't have the kinds of conversations that we have. I think it would just allow people to kind of sit down and have more open conversations. I think that, you know, which mostly we do. I mean, you know, but a lot of times we put up these kind of false barriers between one another. And also it just gets us to see the world differently. You know, it really stretches us. So for me, I invite people into that space, but I also provoke them into it. I mean, that's part of how I teach, right? Push and come up with these kinds of examples or experiments or whatever it would be that I poke at people. I push them out of their comfort zones. So they have to have some kind of experience.
It seems like students who are taking this class in the first place would be more open to that. Do you see them reacting well, or do they have trouble
definitely.
With it?
Yeah, and I have a reputation. For the most part, you know, probably 2/3 of the students know what they're getting into when they sign up for the class, and it's what they want. You know, people want to grow. I mean, people don't want to be stagnant. And so it is an opportunity to go beyond what they already are.
So this must be the first time you're meeting in person, right?
Yeah, yes, 2 days ago.
Two days ago. Yes.
What have you been up to? Seeing the town?
Oh, my gosh.
We don't
have time. Bassem has a very full schedule.
You're just lined up with speaking engagements?
Yeah, it's really.
Yeah, I agree with Sam. With empathy, if you give the other guy the benefit of the doubt, I mean, life is tough enough. And if you pick on everybody and you cannot expect to give somebody else the benefit of the doubt, okay, he's angry, you're angry. If I give in, maybe we'll avoid something bigger. I mean, when I used to drive, we were talking about the lanes. When I used to drive, if somebody did not give me the right of way, I would be upset. Now, I said, okay, you can go ahead. I don't honk my horn. If somebody wants to pass me, go ahead. So really, his class, not just empathy. I listen to his class every Tuesday and Thursday. Since he's been streaming, I watch it live and I interact with his TAs. Before, I would just, after they download it on YouTube, I would watch it and I would send him notes on things. So I'm a big fan of Sam.
I mean, but coming into this, you've been doing this Skyping into the class, but you also, I'm guessing, correspond pretty regularly. What's that like? What do you talk about?
Well, you know, Bassem, before I realized it, we just became friends. And, you know, I get on Facebook and there's a message from Bassem wishing me a happy Thanksgiving. Or, you know, he understands the holidays in the U.S., having lived here for 8 years. So he gets a sense of the rhythm. So there are certain things like Thanksgiving that nobody, if you didn't live here, you wouldn't understand what that is. Or happy 4th of July, happy Independence Day. And then I will wish him Eid Mubarak, you know. And so this is the relationship that really developed over time. It's very nice.
And how is it for you?
Well, being in touch with Sam, I feel I am in the United States. Watching his classes, I feel I communicate with them every day. I do like to keep in touch with my old friends. I have an old friend who was in college with me. His name is Roger. He's waiting for me to be in Ann Arbor, so he's coming to get me. So it just kept me in contact with, like, the United States. So I was happy to be in touch with Sam all the time.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Sam Richards, who teaches sociology at Penn State, and Iraqi citizen Bassem Razo, who has Skyped into Richards' class on race and ethnic relations since 2011. Bassem, in 2015, after you'd been Skyping in to Sam Richards' class for several years, your wife, your daughter, your brother, and your nephew were killed in an American-led coalition airstrike on your house. It appears they mistakenly thought your house and your brother's house next door were car bomb factories. It seems like this would have been a time you could have become angry, violent, like the Iraqi insurgents, but you went a different way.
Yes, I did go another way. I was, for the first few weeks, I was numb. I have not realized what had happened to me, but then I think I talked to Sam, I Skyped to him like 3-4 days after the accident, and he can quote me on what I said. Everybody asked me how you're not angry at the Americans. And I've said it many times, for the American regular person like yourself and your audience, I have lived among you guys for 8 years. I have not seen one bad experience from any American. I have so many American friends. What I am upset with is the recklessness of the bombing, not taking the time to make sure that this was a residential house where people lived in. They should have taken more time getting the facts right without issuing the order, and they apologized for it later. But what's done is done. So I don't know. I'm so calm. I don't know why. Everybody asks me why. I don't know. I have no answer for you.
So, Sam, you talked with him in those weeks after?
Yeah, 3 days after, actually, the first time my wife and I did. And I was in shock. You know, I mean, of all the people, when I first saw that Bassem had posted something on Facebook, I had to keep looking at it, and I translated it, and I kept translating it and using different platforms to translate it. I couldn't quite figure out how it's possible. And then, you know, luckily he was shortly after that online and we talked, and it's so tragic. And Bassem is one case of so many we've been talking the past couple days. So many cases, so many people whose lives have been ruined by, you know, in some ways what I talked about that was the premise of the TED Talk. You know, we were in Iraq fundamentally for oil. And that's pretty clear now. And years later, it's very clear. And so all this recklessness for oil, and it's sad. And yet, you know, so with us, what I told Bassem when we first saw each other on Sunday, I said, you know, I'm so happy you're here, and I'm so sad. And I wish you were not here, because you would be living with your family back in Iraq. And I know you have something to teach, and my students know you have something to teach, and you have a message, but I wish you were in Iraq.
You worked for more than a year to get the American military to admit that they had made a mistake, and they offered you a monetary expression of sympathy, $15,000 for all of this. How do you keep from getting bitter at that?
Well, the process actually was started by Sam. He has one of his students. She was at the State Department and the American Embassy in Baghdad. I started the process. I submitted a report, description of the neighborhood, aerial shots obtained from Google Earth. I gave the exact GPS locations and just complete report. And then that was in February. And then I did not hear from them for 2 months. So I emailed them back. And the lady, she answered me. She said, well, we have sent your report to the DOD to verify that it was an American airstrike, not a coalition, another country, because there are so many other countries involved. And then nothing for months until the reporter, Azmat Khan, contacted me. And then she took over from then. And I was interviewed by her many times and her partner, Anand Gopal. And then Azmat actually started the process rolling. She just kept emailing and emailing. And then it seemed that for like 6 months since the submission of my report, they did nothing. But then after Azmat started talking to them, they gave an order of opening a formal investigation. Immediately, the video that was posted was taken off YouTube. There was a video of the bombing of my house and my brother's. It was taken off.
Removed from the website.
So Azmat, she flew to the airbase and she met them. And they told her that they have aerial surveillance of my house, like an hour and a half of aerial surveillance. That video has also disappeared for some reason. And then we finally met. There was this lady lawyer. She flew from the airbase and then two lawyers from Baghdad embassy. So she said, well, first of all, we'd like to offer our sympathy and apology for what had happened. Anand was with me at that interview. And she said, well, sir, I have this amount to offer you. And she handed me a piece of paper, number written 15,000. So for a minute, I was silent. I said, excuse me, ma'am, but I have to refuse it. I cannot accept this money. Because this, I feel, is an insult to me. And is this how much the Iraqi life worth to you? I said, let me ask you a question. If an American has an accident in an airplane or on the road, how much will his family be compensated for loss of income, for suffering, mental issues, physical issues? Now, I suffered a broken hip, broken foot. I lost my job because I have no way of working anymore. So I said, I'm sorry, I cannot accept this one. She said, well, I'm sorry, sir, but this is the maximum amount we can give you. What actually is the regular amount they pay for an Iraqi killed is 2,000. But they were so considerate with me, they offered me 15. It was silly.
So how do you keep from getting bitter, from getting angry?
Well,
is it the empathy? Is it
I know the American system. I know it is going to take years, but I'm on the way. But the most important thing for me, and which I requested many times, was a specific letter of saying that because my house was bombed by the Americans, it means that I am a member of ISIS. This is very, very important thing to me. I don't want to be considered like this. I mean, I come from a very well-known family, Mosul, and being named as or just an idea of people thinking I was an ISIS or my house was like an ISIS bombing factory. This is a big deal for me. And I still have not got this letter.
So you want a letter that says you are not a part of ISIS.
Specific letter that the bombing was wrong. Mm-hmm. Bazem Razzo, his family are no ISIS members. That's the thing, the first thing I need to do to get.
Has your message changed at all when you talk to Sam Richards' class since your family was killed in this airstrike?
I think, remember Sam, when we talked about fate and destiny? Mm-hmm. And for us Muslims, we believe in fate and destiny. We believe that whatever happens to you after you are born, it's all written by God. So this is our belief. This is what I believe. And I remember one of your students, He said, Bassem, you're scaring me. I'm afraid to go out and break my neck. I said, well, if it's meant to that you go out and break your neck, you will break your neck. But don't worry. He said, I'm scared to go out now. I said, don't be scared. So believing in this, I preach this idea now to some students. Be at peace with yourself because, well, my religion teaches me this. I don't know about your religion, but learn from me. That's how I'm living. That's how I've been able to overcome the bitterness. So this was beyond my control. I can do nothing about it. So I am at peace with myself.
Sam, you know, what changes have you seen?
Yeah, well, a couple things. I've seen Bassem's faith enter into the conversations with students in a more profound way. And I think the accident has allowed this to really come to the surface. And, you know, it is the question, the very first question that students ask is, how can you not hate? How can you not hate us? I mean, that's the challenge that anybody would have. And his response just kind of sets them spinning. And then they have to really evaluate, you know, who they are and what they are. And this question of destiny, of course, for 20-somethings who are trying to control every aspect of their destiny, you know, is one that really kind of slaps them pretty hard, I think. And it's good. It's good. Keep them confused. I think what I've seen over the years is this the opportunity for Bassem, A, to put his faith out into the room and to have everybody see that. And especially in the United States, when most people have either negative views of Muslims or at most the idea that a few Muslims are okay, but the rest are problematic and troublesome and violent, that Bassem offers a retort to that. And people cannot forget that there's at least one person who's gone through this most horrific tragedy who doesn't hate, one Muslim. And if there's one, of course, it plants the seed that there must be millions. And hang on, maybe it's all Muslim. Maybe Muslims aren't what I think that they are. And so that is the profound message, I think.
Bassem, you're going to meet with Sam Richards' class on race and ethnic relations while you're here, the class that brought you here. What will you say to them?
Well, I will start with empathy. The second thing is I will talk to them about our my religious views. I want to change their views of Muslims and Arabs, because not every Muslim and Arab is a terrorist. I'm going to preach the idea to them that they have to expand their knowledge of other countries, other ethnicities. They have to go reach out, travel, go to other countries. I want them to be more aware of what is on outside of the United States, Europe, Asia, Africa. So this is my main idea. I want the American students, the young generation, because they are the most important, to look outside of their town, their city, their state, and their country. This is very important.
Bassem Razo, Sam Richards, thank you for talking with me.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to speak with you. Thank you so much.
Sam Richards teaches sociology at Penn State. Iraqi citizen Bassem Razo has Skyped into Richards' class on race and ethnic relations since 2011. I'm Emily Reddy, WPSU.